It's December 2006, and I'm now on hiatus. After spending the whole fall covering the midterm elections for my depraved liberal magazine, Rolling Stone, I'm here in Texas to work out the answer to a question that has been germinating in my mind for some time, and which came to a head after the elections. Back in the East Coast media world where I come from, an ugly place where nothing grows but scum, lichens, and Jonathan Franzen, the sweeping electoral victory by the Democrats was greeted with a tremendous sigh of relief, as if it were a sign that our endlessly self-correcting, essentially centrist American polity had finally come to its senses. In that world, there was optimism because the people had finally derailed that nutty Bush revolution, because the country had apparently seen the light about a pointlessly bloody and outrageously expensive war in Iraq, and because the cautious yuppieism of the Democratic Party had been triumphantly rehabilitated, at least temporarily quelling the potentially internationally embarrassing specter of terminal one-party rule. The pendulum was swinging back. Yin was morphing back into yang. American politics moved in cycles, and the latest conservative cycle had finally ended. The election results were being sold, in other words, as a triumph of the American system, of American democracy. Just like the producers for Monday Night Football, the country's political elite likes things best when the teams are evenly matched. As far as the press was concerned, the best thing about the Democratic bounce back in the midterms was that it set up a great 2008. Even odds, or maybe Dems minus one, to reach the White House. American politics had never been in better shape. I knew better. I had been all around the country in the last year, and I knew that the last thing these elections represented was a vote of confidence in the American system. Out there, in states both blue and red, the people were boarding the mothership, preparing to leave this planet for good. The media had long ignored the implications of polls that showed that half the country believed in angels and the inerrancy of the Bible, or of the fact that the Left Behind series of books had sold in the tens of millions. But on the ground, the political consequences of magical thinking were becoming clearer. The religious right increasingly saw satanic influences and signs of the upcoming apocalypse. Meanwhile, on the left, a different sort of fantasy was gaining traction, as an increasing number, up to a third of the country according to some polls, saw the Bush crime family in league with Al-Qaeda, masterminding 9/11. Media outlets largely ignored poll results that they felt could not possibly be true, like a CBS News survey that showed that only 16% believed that the Bush administration was telling the truth about 9/11, with 53% believing the government was hiding something, and another 28% believing that it was mostly lying. Then there was a stunning Zogby poll taken just in advance of the 2004 Republican convention that showed that nearly half of New York City residents, 49.3%, believed that the government knew in advance that the 9/11 attacks were coming and purposely failed to act. Not only did voters distrust the government's words and actions, by 2007 they also had very serious doubts about their government's legitimacy. Successive election cycles foundering on voting machine scandals had left both sides deeply suspicious of election results. A poll in Florida taken in 2004 suggested that some 25% of voters worried that their votes were not being counted, a 20% jump from the pre-2000 numbers. More damningly, a Zogby poll conducted in 2006 showed that only 45% of Americans were very confident that George Bush won the 2004 election fair and square. The most surprising thing about that last poll was the degree to which the distrust was spread wide across the demographic spectrum. That 71% of African Americans distrusted the 2004 results was perhaps not a surprise, given that black voters in America have been victims of organized disenfranchisement throughout this country's history. But 28% of NASCAR fans? 25% of born-again Christians? 32% of currently serving members of the armed forces? These are astonishing numbers for a country that even in its lowest times, after Watergate, say, or during Reconstruction, never doubted the legitimacy of their leaders to such a degree. And if distrust of the government was at an all-time high, that was still nothing compared to what the public thought of the national media. Both the left and the right had developed parallel theories about the co-opting of the corporate press, imagining it to be controlled by powerful unseen enemies, and increasingly turned to grassroots internet sources for news and information. In the BBC Reuters Media Center's annual Trust in the Media survey in 2006, the United States was one of just two countries surveyed, Britain being the other, where respondents trusted their government, 67%, more than they trusted national news reporters, 59%. A Harris poll that same year showed that some 68% of Americans now felt that the news media were too powerful. The country, in other words, was losing its shit. Our national politics was doomed because voters were no longer debating one another using a commonly accepted set of facts. There was no commonly accepted set of facts, except in the imagination of a hopelessly daft political and media elite that had long ago lost touch with the general public. What we had instead was a nation of reality shoppers, all shutting the blinds on the loathsome old common landscape to tinker with their own self-tailored, and in some cases, highly paranoid recipes for salvation and/or revolution. They voted in huge numbers, but they were voting out of loathing, against enemies and against the system in general, not really for anybody. The elections had basically become a forum for organizing the hatreds of the population. And the worst thing was that the political parties at some level were complicit in this and understood what was going on perfectly, which is why together they spent $160 million on negative advertising in this cycle, as opposed to just $17 million on positive ads. There were no longer any viable principles in play, just hate and distrust. The system had nothing left to offer the people, so the people were leaving the reservation. But where were they going? That was what I'd come here to find out. While Washington was still basking in the glow of the big win and starting its revolting 2008 party way too early. Headline on the Washington Post opinion page today: An Iowan You Should Know About Candidate Tom Vilsack. I should know now? In December of 2006? Are these people insane? I decided to pick a spot on the map, go there, and get retarded. If the country was going to flip out, I didn't want to be left behind.